Yes. Please try to do it with little
supplies and other, you can see those. The biggest case of the other objects, it's just the timing of settlements and when those dollars are taken out. And if those dollars are in debt, those are all budgeted dollars. So they may move from month to month as to when they get spent. You likely recall that in the appropriations for this year, where we allocated budgets to our schools and our departments, we did decrease those by just shy of $300,000 for some unused accounts from the past. So we're trying not to just carry something if we don't believe it's necessary to have a budget. But we also believe that folks responsibly spend and aren't just spending because they have budget. And that's a good thing, which can yield some carry over there. I don't expect that it would be all of that, but I've been wrong each year about the amount of that. So all in all, we have done for the first 4 months of this fiscal year, we've done about $136,000. Unfortunately, it's on the short side. We're also talking about a $46, $47 million budget for the annual time period. So we'll continue to update as we go forward and still feel very confident in the forecast that you approved last month. Questions?
Questions, please.
Well, I'm sorry, I just said make it look a little better if I can show percent.
Roll call. Mrs. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Zuber.
Yes.
Mr. James.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item F, other business of the Treasurer's CFO. Approval of the following appropriation minutes of depository immediately. Need the motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Brown. Thank you again. The first item, the two facts, the budget team requesting that increase on appropriations due to receiving foundation grants by a number of our staff members, needing the authority to spend those. Very pleased to accept those funds on behalf of our teachers, and we like that it runs through the district, and we can see them very well that way. Fund 551 is actually an adjustment, slight increase in funding from the Department of Education. Don't always know exactly why those happened, but I suspect they had return monies from the prior year of ODA, and they're reallocating those because they have a within a 15-month time frame to spend. They get a 27-month time frame to spend. So we're able to benefit from that, which is also appreciated. The depository agreements you see listed there, the five institutions responded. We placed a public notice legal advertisement to accept depository agreements with financial institutions for the upcoming five-year period beginning January. That's done in accordance with code. Five-year periods rolling. Interestingly, I believe the last time period we had about nine institutions that sought to be depositories. This time it's five, which is nothing about the school district at all. It's everything about the financial markets and how they've changed, and there's really a minimal appetite for public funds because in a tax-exempt status that we're in, there's not necessarily a large profit margin. We really want everything for free is the reality of it, and they're not in the business of giving free no matter what it is. So we have been using RBS citizens here for a long number of years. It predates my time here, and they continue to serve us very well in what we need done and don't have issues with that. The other institutions listed there, with the exception of one, we do use periodically for investment of interim and inactive deposits that are in our accounts. So we don't need for them. We need to continue to use them, and we're glad that they still seek our business. So we'll ask for your approval of those five for this 5-year period.
We just isn't having clarity on that. Item one, those are not part of our general fund. Those are just pass-through accounts that you administer.
That's correct.
Any other comments or discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Zuber.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes. Mr. Cassis, 5-0. Item G, communications.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the first few words, please take out three in your packets. And listed there are the proposed meeting dates for the 2015 school year.
each hearing of public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. Does anybody wish to speak to the board tonight? I'll dispense with that. Anybody like to speak to the board tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on to item I, administrative reports and discussion.
Last year, the Board of Education has a work plan, major work plan to be heard. I expect to get the cost intervention that's for students in our school district who are experiencing difficulty in curriculum. And so we put a more work plan together, and that plan extended into a second year. And so now we are providing an update after the executive summary that was provided last year. I think that we're in a very good place with this project and this process, and we're getting closer to a defined response to intervention plan that meets the expectations that the board has, and also what we'd like to do from a consistency perspective, from a communication perspective, and from an intervention perspective. So Dr. Simpson is with me.
Mr. Preble's gave a pretty good introduction already. It's, as you know, a multi-year action plan. This year, our goals are to finalize a lot of the big pieces of it so that we can then implement and move forward. We had three subgroups as a result of the big committee last year, and the first one, or one of them, was forms and procedures. We decided, after reviewing the current forms and procedures, that they were overwhelming and cumbersome and sometimes looked the same. So they worked really hard as a subgroup to review them, reduce the ones that were a little bit cumbersome, make them more user-friendly, more understandable and readable, especially to parents. And so they are right now pretty much finalized, other than they're doing some final edits and formatting, because I found out that a lot of us are not like that. We want to make sure everything's centered and things are highlighted the right way and those kind of things. So their goal is to do that before Thanksgiving break, if they can get everybody together, otherwise that week right after. And then as a result of that, then they also worked on the procedures, and they have nice little clear-cut steps on how to use each form, when to use each form, what needs to be in each form. And what I mean by that is, if somebody feels a student needs to go to response to intervention and initiate the process, they would follow those steps. And in order to proceed, we want that consistency. So we're going to work really hard at making sure that all of the necessary steps are completed before you go on to the next step, so that we don't end up having different gaps depending on the team or the building or the student. And we shared the summary and the overview to date at a recent administrative meeting, because last week we had our full committee meeting. Actually, it was our second one of the year, but it was a half-day work session versus the after school hour and a half, hour to hour one. And once we get the forms and procedures done, our next step is to take a group of the RTI committee and do kind of our traveling roadshow to all the different buildings to explain them, review them, and then what we found the key was is not just to give the training once, but to follow up and keep coming back around, either in small groups or designated people at each building, to make sure that we maintain the integrity of the continuity, the implementation, and making sure that we don't miss any steps along the way, kid-related or procedure-related. Next. The other subgroup, the second subgroup, was the interventions and professional development. And what they worked on was trying to determine what current interventions are we using, what works, what doesn't work, and do we want to keep all of them, or do we want to streamline them so they're not so overwhelming? And what they found as a group is that we had a lot of suggestions and resources on the website under the RTI tab, but a lot of them, it was really overwhelming. People didn't know where to start, and or they didn't have the appropriate training to implement them. And what I mean by that is, when you get to Tier 2 and Tier 3, those interventions need to be really rigorous. They need to be followed exactly like the training says. So, for example, if a student needs significant intense intervention in reading, and we utilize, as an example, Wilson Reading, the people that implement it need to have the proper training. It needs to be done with that same set of parameters, meaning if it's a 90-minute program, we need to make sure we work in into our schedule that that teacher X has 90 minutes in whatever building that's being implemented at, so that if a student needs it, that's available. We also have a program called Read 180 that you need at least a minimum of 60 minutes. But what came up was it's being used as a targeted intervention at our high school. The feedback was, we really can't do the program with fidelity when we're out of 40 minutes. So as we have discussion, a lot of these different action points all kind of blend into each other, whether it's what the day looks like, what the schedule looks like, how the day is configured, and that's what came out of that. And we just started brainstorming specific interventions for Tier 2 and 3 at our last meeting, and I actually met with Mr. Schenker today because he pulled all of the computer-based programs that we're using, and we're starting just now to assess, do we still use them? If we do, where do we use them? Some people, or some of the feedback at the meeting was, well, I have training in this program, but it's been a lot of years, and I'm really not sure how anymore. Or I don't think we have a full set of materials for that. So we're trying to pull it all together, streamline, kind of do an inventory check, and then decide what interventions. We want to try to keep it to three, maybe four specific research-based ones under each area, meaning under reading, under math, and behavior was also a really big one that we found we all need a little bit more work on how to address behavior as well. And then once we determine those, we are going to have to develop a timeline of when are we going to provide that training, what's it going to look like, what's our time frame from start to finish, and who at each building is going to get that training. Because what we found is we want that consistency. So if a student needs Read 180 or they need a specific math intervention, that it can happen no matter what building they're at, because it's based on what they need, not based on whether it's available at that particular location.
So do you know the people that would be receiving this training, is it educators, aides, administrators, all the above?
Actually, good question. It depends on the program. Some of them, they have to be certificated teachers, like, for example, Wilson Reading. But if we do another type that's more like a flashcard or a math fluency, or even if you do a data assessment like Ames-Webb or Dibbles, as long as the people are appropriately trained, it can be implemented by anyone. And the piece about administrators is we're seeing also in just the discussion part of the committee over time is they need to have that visible buy-in, that they need to have at least enough understanding of each of the programs so they can be a support to those teachers. If the teachers have a question, once they get started on it or implementing it, or feeling like they have that support or kind of that go-to to brainstorm or to bounce things off of. That was part of why we did the update at the administrative meeting at the timing that we did, was to reiterate the importance of, you know, that's what really is going to help with that support. Did that answer your question?
Thank you.
And then, real quick, I kind of went backwards on those bullets. The Tier 1, that group developed their list already because we found that Tier 1, it kind of has a misnomer. People think it's an intervention, but really Tier 1 is just best practices and differentiation that we would expect to see in any classroom that we go in. But providing the list gives people some ideas. Sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, I did do that. I didn't realize that's what it was called. Or, wow, that simple suggestion, I don't think I'll try it that well. Look how easy it was. It really worked. And that's in the packet as well. So samples of the forms and that chart are in your packet. I was giving that address. And the third subgroup was communication and consistency. And that group we decided we needed because it's the consistency and the follow-up over time. And no matter what building you're in, what grade level, and also that once we implement something, we find that it works, to make sure that we support it, maintain it, and revisit it, so it doesn't just kind of fall away over time. So right now, that group isn't really working on anything specific. Their work's going to come, it's threaded throughout, and it's going to come toward the end, when we look at, okay, now we've decided on these interventions, we've decided on this format, updating the website, making sure everybody knows how to do what we need to do, and also being a support over time. And as a result of all of that, I'm good. Sorry. you keep it in my toes. And so the overall takeaways from our most recent meeting was a lot of the discussion with interventions, as I said earlier, also brings up discussion of other things. It doesn't really work in a vacuum or an discussion led to is it's changing a little bit. We don't have the frame reduced percentage as high in one area as we might have in the past. It's kind of a little bit more evenly and equally dispersed. So that discussion was secondary when we started talking about what do students need and when and front-loading and early intervention. And that was one of the things that came up, that we need to kind of morph and change and be cognizant of our population and what it is they need, whether it's individually or as a group. And then, obviously, we need to focus on the training district-wide, also focusing on the non-academics that impact student performance. Behavior and academics aren't separate. And what we mean by behavior, it's not necessarily a disciplinary kind of word. It's more about on-task behavior, teaching them to work independently, time on task, working in a group, problem solving, cooperative learning groups, and that kind of thing. Because part of that discussion that came up, several personnel, because the group consists of not just teachers, it's school psychologists, guidance counselors, teachers, administrators. They referenced that we had a really good positive behavior support program where we went through the training and it was in several buildings, it worked really well. But then over time, we just, for whatever reason, it wasn't always revisited, and they felt that that might be something to look at again. And then also the discussion about what the current date looks like, the schedule, the length of the classes, could we be creative within those parameters to meet those students' needs. At our next steps, we're focusing on behavior interventions. That's the last step of that subgroup's work, in addition to finalizing a couple of our other research-based interventions. And then we've talked about a book study. We're looking at either the book Whatever It Takes, which kind of integrates interventions, and the PLC concept, the Professional Learning Committee, or communities, and then potentially a couple others, Causes and Cures, which is about behavior and how it relates to academics. So we haven't quite decided on the book. We're talking about either a book or a couple books, and then we break into groups and kind of do a jigsaw of it where we share out, and then also sharing some articles that we have found that are relevant. And then, as I said earlier, to present at all the buildings, but then once it's up and running, to make sure we revisit it on a regular basis to be a continued support.
Show and that you also talked about the follow-up, because it really sounds with everything that you have in place here that you're really going to protect the integrity, like you said, and make sure that everybody's on the same page about what.
And what's great about that is, even when I did the previous update here, what's great about that is that as this committee has evolved, is a lot of these things they've come to on their own, and we have to validate that because they're in the trenches, and we have to listen. To what either an individual or collective group says. And when you hear some of those things multiple times and they're in isolation of each other, then you really can connect the dots, and it's something that should probably be addressed when you hear it that often and see a pattern.
The next item on the board that you are going to measure for is the district calendar.
Actually, I believe that out of all the years that I've worked on the calendar process, this year was much more collaborative, and the average staff member had some input to it. The superintendent and Mrs. Montalione met with the staffs at each of the buildings as part of the scheduling committee for next year and talked about the calendar. A survey was done with certificated staff members. We also brought the calendar options that I worked out with Brian to make sure that they were contractually correct to cabinet as well as to leadership. And some of the things that we worried or kind of were concerned about, the start of the school year, our secondary people want students in their seats as much as possible to receive the maximum days of instruction prior to testing. We have a legitimate concern at the elementary levels about the heat in the building in August. So we tried to work all those together. Of course, as any calendar, it's a compromise. I'm sure there's probably no one that was 100% happy with it. But I think we achieved a lot more satisfaction than we have in the past. We also surveyed our parents, which is something we had never done before with the calendar development. We asked them if they preferred half or partial day in service.
service days, which, if you look at it from a parent's point of view, that makes sense. If I'm going to take a personal day or a vacation day, why not attach it to a weekend, and then maybe my family can do something? So we shared the calendar with the staff. I know Mr. Krebels went over it with you. And hopefully you're satisfied with it. Do you have any questions? One thing I like about, we moved it up a month, the process. We normally voted on this in December, and that really makes us a better neighbor for a lot of groups within the community who are already contacting me, wanting to know what our schedule is for next year. That's like Rob Behind's Rec, our own beekeepers programs. You know, they want to start planning as far in advance as they can. So they were delighted to know that you were moving this process up a month in advance. Any questions?
Besides the recreation offices in the two cities, any other city impact that we know of?
No, not just for their summer programs. That's it. We do hear from many other groups like Cheer World and, you know, soccer, and want to know when they can have their camps, when they can start working on that. So there really are a lot of people that are anxiously awaiting our calendar, besides parents and staff.
And it's, you know, Kathy, it's helpful to the business community. I know Mike Fine works for staffing for lifeguards, and they found themselves very short. So, you know, just preparing for that coming up. What are they going to do? Now we know.
Right.
Coming back early.
So, I hope so, you know. And we had thought about coming back as early as August 17th, but in light of the concerns of the elementary and what the possible temperature could be, although it's hard to imagine heat on a day like this. You know, it's back to the 20th, I believe, which gives us a two-day week, which is kind of unique, but many of the reports back to building principals, teachers are happy with that. It's 2 days to get the jitters out and get into a routine, and then you hit the ground running Monday of the following week.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Modification of the board policy, the 8600 board policy, and the administration.
administrative guidelines to that policy. We also review the appeals committee process. Kathy Harbinick was involved in that. We contacted, had a few more new members on that committee. We also had an orientation meeting to sort of go through with the committee, the process, and bring the new members up to speed on how that process works. And Kathy will talk about that later, about the one appeal that we did. We did a traffic study to check to see, you know, where our bus is going to be able to get in and out with the car traffic. We made a few adjustments there. Spoke with both chiefs of the two police departments, and then the board approved the model, the service model, at their June 23rd meeting in 2014. As we move to today, the implementation and some of the adjustments we've made, we anticipated not replacing three drivers. That wasn't possible. We needed to add one position back for the St. Ignatius route, but we were able to keep two drivers' positions that we did not fill. When we had the model back in 2009-2010, we had 22 buses or 22 bus routes, both morning and evening. Now we only have 14 in the a.m. and 16 in the p.m., and we're covering the whole districts. District, we have a 1 mile pickup zone. Students have to be further than 1 mile, and we have larger group stops. During the first week, the superintendent and Rick and myself on occasion were up at the middle school watching the buses come in. It wasn't a great story the first week or the week and a half, but after that, they were arriving at that time about 8:10 or 15. Now we have the buses arriving at those private schools, St. Michael's and Assumption, at about 7:55. So we pretty much have gotten there as far as getting those students there on time. The high school buses are pulling out between 2:25 and 2:27, and the middle school is leaving about 3 o'clock. I just got counts today on our ridership. If these are the kids that actually rode, this past week we averaged it out. It's 335 kids on the AM route, 431 on the PM route. So it's about a 50-50. I think in the morning it's about a 50% ridership. In the afternoon it's about a 54, which for high school is pretty good. It's pretty good numbers between that age group.
50% of the total students or 50%?
Of
bus capacity.
50% of bus capacity.
50% is 55% in the AM, and it's 58% in the PM.
So excluding customer service and time on a bus, theoretically, you've got a lot of excess capacity, but you run into the other constraints that we spoke about months ago,
right?
Those numbers are about 10 to 12% higher than they were when the last model was in place in 2009.
How many students do we have at the high school?
1,400.
So as a percentage, is this, do we have any percentages from the last time, from 9 and from FY10 when we did this? Or is the ridership
540 was the last time?
Now we're down into the low 30s, probably because a lot of students have established other ways of getting to school.
Yeah, I would think that as you move forward, those numbers, I think, go up as far as ridership, because a lot of parents have presented to buying vehicles and have gotten used to transporting their children to school. Those grade levels go through, that number. So, our goal is to be cost-effective and not increase the overall cost of our budget. And, checking with Mr. Burdine and going through the numbers
is currently working on looking at some alternatives for routing based on possibly changes in timing with the schools, the start and stop time. So that will be a project that we'll be working on the next, next school year here. Any questions?
That's a recap. That's great. Nice job.
Part of the score for us getting is one of the recommendations that came from the committee was to take a closer look at essentially shifting some time to maintain time of the day for students and staff, but see if there's a different way to configure. And Mary and I spoke about the committee, and he's beginning to take a look at how we might be able to do that. By having the high school kids' day start a little bit later and the early elementary kids not sent a little bit earlier into the central school, kind of a 9:15 time period, which is a little different than what they are right now. But what we're trying to figure out is if we can actually get all of the middle school and high school kids in one run in the morning by and offset their schools about 10 minutes. So, I don't know how long it took to be able to model what we currently have in place. That's a big task for Rick Wild, the operator, but he has started to work with Larry and some other folks just to take a look at the number of buses, the capacity, the routing now, folding the eighth graders into the high school, this year's eighth graders, moving them up and trying to take a look at where they live and all of those sorts of things. So, we're into another very extensive project to try to do that, and obviously, like other conversations the board's having, we don't want to get too far down the road without having some information to parents if in fact that potential exists, but we're not ready to definitively say at this point in time that any change will occur next year. We're still very much in the analysis part of the process.
I did have one question relating to, assumption. I know that was we had a lot of concerned parents come forward with the changes at assumption. Of course, in those first few weeks, it was still a bit unsettled. So what's been the situation there in terms of how long are some of the longer bus rides for students at assumption?
There's a few that are still long, but the cases is the parent lives really far from the school, too. And I think Rick has had some discussion with that particular parent or parents, and they understand that. I haven't heard a lot of concern recently at all within the last month about assumption. It seems to be working pretty well. The principal did call me for some other information regarding some security issues with their particular building, but I sent some information and she seemed to indicate that everything's really well. So.
It's sort of on those longer bus rides, it's not a situation where the child was picked up close to the school and back. It truly is a situation where the family lives a far distance away from the school. That's been our experience, at least with the modeling. And in some instances, the furthest you could live and still be picked up by a Rexville Rodney Knight school district. I got a hand to Rick. He's been able to, even in those cases, streamline, put some other children on some different buses so that that's a quicker, well, it's not quicker speed, but less stopping in those particular routes. So he's been able to do some of that to get those children home 5-7 minutes quicker.
We actually had less concerns this year brought to my desk and Rick's desk about Scott that we had last year. With all the changes, that we still had fewer calls for concern, which was sort of shocking to me. With all these changes, that we didn't have more calls.
Don't get the word out, don't worry.
Scott, to your entire team for transpired this year with all the changes, but I think it's commendable that you're already starting to look at next levels of what may be available and adjustments. And it's always a trade-off, but keeping cost in mind. If you can free up dollars, it's freed up dollars. Thanks.
Thank you.
Item J, unfinished business. Resolve to approve the new revised board policies listed below as presented at the October 27th board meeting in tab A 4. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
These are the same policies that we brought forward to the board absent 8400. I want to thank again Mr. Kantz and Mrs. Bornauer for coming in and working through these. They have not changed in any way since the last time we were together. With some of the changes that the board had expected when we had the first, prior to the first reading. So, absent any other discussion or comment, they are as they were, and the information was presented to the board about each one still stands because none of it will change.
Questions, comments? We can read each one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernal?
Yes.
Mr. Grayson?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item 3, business. Moving personnel contract recommendations. Motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Kimball?
I apologize. Normally, this would have been at the station, but I was a little tardy coming for sure. So, anyway, certified staff recommendations that appear there in tab 5, you see that the mentor at the bottom, most of them are typical, but the mentor at the bottom is a change that's an amendment. On tab 6, those are extracurricular contracts. There's, what I understand, having talked to Mr. Warren, we now have 100% of their sports seasons covered by the coaches and or sponsors. And the other changes there in the classified under tab number 7 are pretty typical for this time of year. Resignations and retirements have also been involved in these documents, so it's pretty much typical business. But when you get to the classified side, if you go to the employee count comparison chart, you will see that. That's the document I just passed you. You will see that we have added 2.284 FTEs in the classified bus side of the equation on the slate, and those are specific to transportation. And so we know that that was going to happen. They were not a surprise to us, and so all other categories for FTEs do not change. And all the other information within these tabs is typical for this time of swing.
We're still down for FTE on that vast number with the items I already mentioned. There was a presentation, the overall staffing considerations that were made this year. This is just a recalibration for the finalization of the high school. That's the
thing. I have a question. Eighth grade girls, there wasn't enough for a B team. Is that the correct assumption? B team.
That's correct.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernard?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item 2, general. Motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Mr.
The first is the board agendas that were proposed for the 2015 school year. Already discussed that. The second item B is to resolve 2015-16 calendar, which was discussed by Mrs. Harvard-Ack's presentation to the board. The third would be to resolve to select a member here this evening to be the president pro tem of the January 2015 organizational meeting, and that is up for discussion among the board. And item D to resolve to accept the Thank You Associates proposal for professional services. That's in tab 8. And that, the Thank You organization is a group we contracted with in the past for architectural work. They will develop specifications or have developed specifications in several district projects, including stormwater, wastewater, concrete, paving, and sidewalk repairs and bleacher replacement. Contract recommended by me in this tab. If approved, will allow Bentley and Associates to provide bid specifications for our turf field project, analyze those bids, then to qualify contractors and materials within those bids. They will work with Mr. Kalinske and his group Atomic on the field work preparation, which will also include student and parent participation in the design and development and construction. They will supervise that on behalf of the Board of Education should the board so choose to approve this contract.
Involved in the original plan?
That I don't know.
Staffing at all?
Well, our current staffing has responsibility.
back today. What do we do? What have we done with our turf field?
That's the problem.
We haven't been doing it
in the past. We haven't done any season.
We didn't have the machine. Right, we didn't have the machine. But they've been cleaning.
It's been groomed twice since the last 4 years. It's been groomed twice professionally from the, with the big machine. If you can go back,
it's only tight.
A meeting or two. We have talked about working with Curtis Bailey and Boss to reconfigure one of our custodial positions by moving that position out to the field, which would be that general area. And in that position, some of this could be written in. As far as the cost of the machine, I think, Mr. Jensen, your point is well taken. Why would we bring something on if we don't need to? I think what we'd like to try to provide for the board is an analysis of if we purchase the machine and we had to train somebody, and will it be done properly? I mean, that's a key element there. Versus what is the cost over a 12-month period, and how long would it take to pay back that $11,000 or $12,000 for the machine? You know, and then the other side of
it is to keep it in.
The other side of that is when you have someone who's contracted to do that, and something doesn't go well, the liability shifts from us as a school district to them as a company who provides that service. So there's a few things that we need to take choice or look at on that.
And then looking at the whole scope of things, we see the rest of our properties that also need the same care.
Which is part of the custodial redesign.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
Is there any intent to reach out to the, I don't know, I think it's, is it SSG? It was the company in Rexville that put the turf field end up at Blossom. I mean, that's their showcase field. So, like, the city, you know, entered in with an arrangement with them where the city did a lot of the prep work, and then they did the installation, you know, for free, and then the community uses the field. I mean, they're right in our community. I'm just curious. I would think they offer replacement turf, and if we've, you know, to see if we can collaborate and do anything similar.
We have had some discussions on development of the bid specification. There will be actually 10 different types of turf, and probably at least 4 or 5 manufacturers of those 10 turfs, and their company is one of the companies that is, you know, sort of a preferred reference company. There's 5 companies that are sort of, in our architect's opinion, produce a turf that would meet our needs, you know, and then it becomes a matter of price. You know, they don't do it any turf, but you'll talk, I'm sure, when you talk to the people at OSBA, their turf is best, and is special. They're all good, they're all going to give us service. It's a matter of all of those will be in the specification, and then it's going to be coming down to price, service, and then some of these things that we may write in as far as the type of machine that they would maybe provide to us free or service they would provide to us. So that will be listed in there. So I think everyone will have a good opportunity to bid. We're not going to exclude any company. We're looking at all of those terms as being equivalent and acceptable.
It was there. It was interesting. It was like buying carpet. They missed up the path. The padding, you know, the drainage of the padding under the carpet. There's some sophistication there. The refurbishing or preparation of a field that has sat for a long time and has, you know, become kind of dense or condensed. So you just don't know until you take the top off. And that's the scary part, because I think that's part of the sales. So Larry's worked with Banky on a lot of different projects. We've been very happy with their work and their follow-up and their management on these construction projects. They're coming to the site, making sure that they touch base with Larry. So we're comfortable with the communication with this particular organization. And I think they'll do good work with us once again. Just stay away from Shaq. Just stay away.
Roll call, please. Mrs. Burnham?
Yes.
Mr. financial means in life.
Know at CBCC that yes, we want our partnership dollars reinstalled. So
So I just want to make sure that that's, and I don't know why we wouldn't, but I want to make sure the board realizes the conversation I'm doing on their behalf. So that's it.
Thank you. Go get the money.
Thank you for the communication. We're running the tightrope. You have commitments to both boards. But thanks for the communication.
And like I talked to Mark about it. When you $30,000, you know, you yes, of course. But then you look at 8 districts, and that's $240,000 out of a budget that's far smaller than ours. And so, it's not. I'm not looking for sympathy as much, just an explanation that does become a different conversation than at CBCC. You know, that we have to find that $240,000. So. You know, but of course, you know, I will make sure that I let them know that Brexville does want the $30,000 partnership dollars.
What was the reason that they suspended the partnership dollars? Was it just a budget crunch?
It was. It was the year before, right before negotiations. Our forecast, you know, did not look that great, same as, you know, ours did. And it was a reduction. And we had made some staffing reductions as well, but that was basically thought of as low-hanging fruit, and that's what happened. And according to Dr. Roebuck, that was something that she, you know, isn't required to give to the districts. It was a nice gesture, basically, but it was not something that was required to do. Some districts, they had to put in place. At least from an auditing standpoint, they had to show what they were doing with that $30,000. It wasn't feeling comfortable from an auditing standpoint where you're just giving this $30,000 away without any tracking. So it had to be allocated to a certain thing. And some districts handled that a little bit looser than others. So according to Dr. Roebuck, she felt like that was the, you know, retracting that money at that time was the best thing to do. Given the forecast.
Well, meaning like when the $30,000 flowed into our coffers, does that mean that money had to be designated for a particular use, or did it just go to...
It went into the technology. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had to fill out a form to show that how we were using that. So, the second thing is I wanted to also put on our radar that I told Mr. Jansen was position for CBCC, that also is coming up. We decide that in January during our committees, and it has come to my attention, at least a while ago, that I actually am able to stay there. I have a related field, so is Mrs. Brunauer, actually, too, and so is Mr. Dozen, actually, too. We all qualify, so we are related fields that they have at CBCC, so we do qualify for the legislature.
You mean to be a board member?
To be a board member, correct.
Yeah. How did they come to that? Did somebody give them clarification? Did the state or somebody give clarification on what the requirements are?
And that's how it happened. You know, we worked through the 9th position, and it's no longer, you know, we had kind of toyed with the 8 because there's only 3 districts in Ohio that have that swinging seat. So, so that's something we've worked through because they have that trade. So, and, you know, and that's it.
Did you want to show one of your cards as to...
Well, I wished would like to stay there. I would like to, but I don't know how everybody feels about that. The other thing is we have a rotating seat coming up. Our rotating seat is 2 years away. So my thought process was that I would be allowed to stay there because of a lot of the things I'm doing for STEM and on behalf of our district, and that I would kind of, the rotating seat would come in the 3rd year, and then I would step back, and that person then might stay on for that 3-year term again. So that's my thought process because I've kind of felt like I came in cold, and I thought that might be. I noticed that it's a nice, and it's been a nice marriage when I've watched Twinsburg, where they had that rotating seat. They both came in, you know, in cold, but then they had, that's not for Twinsburg, it's Nordonia. So I kind of say one's going to stay now, and the other one's going to, the rotating seat disappears. that's my thoughts.
Reason for it. Want to keep going with STEM?
Oh, yeah. There's a the STEM Consortium, is that right, Dr. Kalibeck, is tomorrow?
November
25th at CVCC. And what that is, and it's wonderful, I talked to Kathy Roderick about this last week. The schools, at least in the CVCC partnership that we currently are part of, they are coming together on behalf of STEM, and they're going to talk about STEM from 9 to 2 and share ideas. And hopefully, we're trying, and Kathy and I were talking about Nordonia with like our STEM coordinator and myself to come and explain how we created the position initially. They're very interested, so, and I know Revere is very much trying to get traction in the direction that we have gotten ourselves. And so, and Nordonia's board member, Jim Burroughs, asked if we would come and tell how we got started. And so I talked to Kathy Roderick about that. But the more partnership, and another conversation, the more partnerships we have, we've also been talking at CVCC talking about grant writing and maybe possibly finding somebody that we shared, you know, to write grants on behalf of our districts. So we really were trying to but to explain how we came up with the STEM coordinator so we could possibly work together more on behalf of STEM. And that's it.
In regard to STEM, at the December meeting of the board, we will have an update from the complete STEM teacher meeting.
Fantastic.
Check this out. Check it.
That was a pretty lively discussion last time.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be just as exciting this time, I think. A lot of good things happening.
Any other reports? Decisions of the expression officer as a result of the expression hearing held on November 6, 2014. Item B, looking at session to consider appointment of employment for compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166. Item A. We have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Dorsen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. There was an executive session. Thanks, Doug.